Hey, it's Bradley J back for the Bradley J and Marco show. And speaking of Marco, let's bring him on. Marco, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, Bradley. How are you doing this fine Tuesday afternoon, right? Tuesday.
It is a Tuesday. It's been a week since we've been off. This is a weekly show, and we got a lot to get to. But I did want to tell you this. I've kind of made an executive decision. I've decided that this is more like a show than it is a podcast. Because I've got some ideas up in my head on what we can do on the show. So I think we should just call it the Bradley J and Marco show.
So no more just saying, because as people know already, we're going to say what's on our mind regardless of what they think.
This is true. This is so true. So over the weekend, get this show started, I was watching HBO Max. I love HBO Max. It has great shows, originals, everything on it. But I noticed as I scrolled down on HBO Max that they had trailers for new movies that are coming out. Of course, tomorrow, I don't know if you know this or not. Sorry, lunch is still in my mouth. Godzilla versus Kong is on HBO Max tomorrow. It comes out tomorrow on HBO Max. And I am wicked excited for it. But I got to see the trailer again for that. I got to see the trailer for Mortal Kombat, and Dune is all up there. And, you know, it got me thinking, I love movies. I love going to movies. And I was thinking, like, when was the last time I was in a movie theater? And I was like, what's the last movie I saw in a movie theater? I can tell you this. I don't remember. I don't remember what day. I don't remember what movie I saw. I was thinking, are there other people like me that can't remember things? Am I getting old? I am, but is my memory gone? Do you remember the last movie you saw in a movie theater?
Yes, I do. So I'm a proud Regal member, so I pay a certain amount a month, and I can go see as many movies as I want at the Regal here in Lawrence. And nice. The last movie that I saw, and it was with my roommate, it was the last movie that we both saw in theaters, in fact. It was Underwater with Kristen Stewart. And if you look back at the 2020 slate and the movies that came out in January, February, there wasn't really a good amount of choices to select from. You had The Grudge, but Underwater, I remember specifically it being the last one because it was a snooze fest of a movie. I wouldn't recommend anyone to watch it. If you do, go get it at your local Redbox so you could pay the cheapest flat rate possible for it. But ever since then, that was probably, right there around February, beginning of March when I last went to one. I miss it so much, though. Watching them at home, like you said, Godzilla and Mortal Kombat, if we have to watch them at home, I just don't think it's going to be quite the same as watching them in the movie theater.
I don't know. It's probably not going to be the same, but I've got it down where I have this lounge chair, this recliner that I bought. I love it. I'm not going to lie. I call it Jessica Alba. It's my Jessica Alba chair. And the reason is because when I fall into it, it feels like she's hugging me. I don't know if her hugs are like a recliner, but for me, they are. So I sit in my Jessica Alba, and it's just fun to tell people that. They're like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm watching a movie. Oh, really? Yeah, I'm sitting in my Jessica Alba. And they're like, what's that? I'm like, it's my recliner. I named it. But I have it down. Like I do that. I go and pop some popcorn. I get some water to drink, and I sit down and I sit and watch the movie. I mean, I have got it down, and I am excited because tomorrow when I get off work, I usually go home. I work out. I shower. I fix dinner, and then I watch TV. Tomorrow, that is all off the slate. I'm gonna eat two bags of popcorn. I'm gonna get crazy, man. I'm just gonna get crazy. And Regal theaters are open. Are you planning on going to the theater again soon?
Not quite yet. I got to check and see if my membership kind of kicks back in when the movie theater here in town opens up. But I haven't even – that's quite – I like your plan for tomorrow. You're not going to let anything get in the way. You are Godzilla versus Kong is the first thing that you're doing right after work. And I'm jealous because – I won't get to do that tomorrow, unfortunately. But you'll have to let me know how the action is and if the dialogue is any good, because that's what people are going to be watching it for, right? Is the dialogue?
Exactly. Everybody wants to know what's going on. I actually, you know me though, because I've told you before, you and I both are like, we like superhero movies. And I'm always telling you, like, I always go online after I watch, like I watched The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And when I was watching WandaVision, I was like, right after that, I was going to online to like the Den of Geek or something like that, or Vulture or whatever. And I read the synopsis of what they say and what, because I'm always like, oh man, I missed that. And I did that again with The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay. Like, I get it. It was funny because Jim Daniels was like, I don't want to hear, when you come in tomorrow to work, I don't want to hear anything about it. Not one word. Oh, and I go, well, then I go, don't bring it up then to me. Like, if it doesn't pass your mind, it won't pass mine. Like, I won't tell you. Because, I mean, if somebody asks me, often, like, if you ask me and you're like, hey, call me or text me tomorrow and tell me what you think of the movie, I will. I'll be like, hey, man, it was good. I don't want to spoil it for you. And if you say, no, go ahead, I'm going to be like, okay, here it goes. And I don't mind posting things on social media about movies. Mm-hmm. People are like, don't post on social media. Don't give it away. And I'm like, don't look on social media.
Exactly.
It's Twitter. My right to post on whatever I want on my social media.
You are a tough negotiator when it comes to, hey, it's my platform. You just unfollow it for the day. Or if, like Twitter users, you can block certain words out. So that was a big help for me when Star Wars and The Last Skywalker was coming out. I made sure to block out all the key words so it wouldn't come across my timeline. Letterboxd. Get the Letterboxd app so you can keep track of your movies. And you can record, you can document it, record it each time you watch a movie. And it gives you a fun little year in review at the end of each year. It shows you what you watched again and actors, actresses that you watched, genres.
I'm looking for a pen. I'm like, Letterboxd. Like, what is that? Is that an app? What is that?
I'll tell you what, there was one thing I saw on your social media that struck a conversation in my living room. And it led to another one as well. You had posted on there about whether or not it was rude of a lady to come in after your friend had held the door open for her and then not mention that she had 7-8 other people following along her that got to join in. And so your friend had to wait not just for one person, but for 10 people total.
Yeah, the whole family. Like, come on in.
So your restaurant etiquette, it's kind of funny. I read that, and then I go on Twitter, and I see a lady had posted a photo where she's on a plane, she's in her seat, but if you look towards the top of the picture, you see child's feet on the top of her chair. So she took a selfie because here she is sitting down, and the person and the child behind her has kicked off his shoes, kicked off his socks, and put his bare feet and his reclined back in his Jessica Alba airport chair, plane chair. So I got to ask you, Bradley, if you fly a lot, do you have any airport etiquettes, especially as people start to get ready to travel more with kind of that area of the world opening up?
I try to treat, when I travel, I treat it like I'm at somebody else's house. Is what I do. So I don't, like, I don't take my, you know, if they say, hey, I don't take my shoes off, not meaning that, but it's just like, if you're at somebody's house, you're on way better behavior than when you are at your own house. You know, at your own house, you'll leave the dishes in the sink in your own house. You know, at somebody else's house, you go over and you're like, hey, where would you like me to put this cup? You know, in the sink, in the dishwasher, do I need to rinse it out? What do you need to do? You know, let me help you out. And most people are like, oh, no, I'll take care of it. That's what I try to do. So any kind of etiquette outside of that, I'm always like, it's not my stuff. There are other people around. You need to be on your best behavior. And I will say this, I should probably need to tone it down when I'm in public. Like, and that would mean my voice, because it's very loud and it carries. And so that's one of the things I'm actually told by my family. They're like, hey, just, you know, you don't need to. And I'm like, I'm not. It's just me. I can't help it. I'm like, that's just how I am. Especially when I'm around my friend. Like, I always feel like I try to treat it like I'm over at somebody else's house. But when I have friends around, you know, when I'm traveling with other people, you're always having fun. You know, you're laughing. I'm trying to, you know, do that. So, I mean, like, it's when I'm at somebody's house, that's how I try to be when I travel and the etiquette I have outside.
Some of the things that came to my head is, especially, you don't kick your feet up on someone's chair. I feel like that's kind of rule number one of when you're flying anywhere. And so, but a couple that I've written down was, I like your rule of treating other spaces not as your home. You know, it's being very respectful of other people's spaces. One of those things that came to my head was, I'm going to let someone strike the conversation with me, because I have that feeling where people just want to travel. My roommate especially, he's from Baltimore. So when he's going back home or coming back to Kansas City for school, that type of stuff, he says he just immediately puts his earbuds in and just falls asleep. He doesn't want to have a conversation with anyone. He doesn't even accept the free peanuts, the free drink that you get. He's like, he doesn't want to be bothered at all. And I'm like, all right, I see that as everyone, whereas I'll just let them start the conversation with me because I know who I am. If someone wants to talk with me, I'm willing to chat with them. But I will never strike up a conversation on a plane, because you don't know if that other person right there wants to talk with you or not. And then, you know, before you even get on the plane, you're assigned a letter and a number, right? Whether it's A7, B12, C36, that's your number that you get to go before you get to go on the plane. It's how they organize everybody out. Get in your organized number. The last thing people want to see is a fight break out over in Terminal 7, Terminal 8, because somebody wanted to sneak on to the A group when they didn't check in early enough for their flight and they got stuck at the bottom of the list towards with C50 or something. And it's exactly goes back to your rule. It's not your space. This isn't your house. This isn't your house or anything. You're at the airport. You have to deal with other people. It's just easy on yourself to just go where you're supposed to go. Go with the assigned number, letter, whatever it is, because you never know how someone's gonna react if you cut in front of them per se. But those are my two cents for airport etiquette.
I agree, man. I can't argue any of that. I always feel bad. Like, I don't feel bad, but I'm always like, when I'm at the airport and they start calling names, they're like, okay, you know, we're going to let this group go. I always seem to be like in that last two groups. that's how bad. I've never flown first class. Mm-hmm. And so I've never been that passenger. And it's always in coach. And like I said, I'm always in the last two groups, and I'm always just like, I kind of want to be one of the people that get on first in one of these times. But I'm the opposite. Like I'll I'm pretty good at reading people. Mm-hmm. So on an airplane, like I've actually made friends on the airplane ride talking, because I'm a talker. But I can also tell, like, when somebody doesn't want to talk and they just want to sleep, like, I'm courteous to that too. Like, I'm like, okay, they don't want to talk. Like, you start talking to them and all of a sudden they're just kind of like, you know, standoffish. You're like, okay, they don't want to talk. It's all good. It's all good. You know, talking about that over, it's been a couple weeks ago. I had a friend of mine, call me and say, hey man, you want to go to lunch? And I really didn't want to go to lunch. I was in the middle of like playing Madden football.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I wanted to say no, but I hadn't seen this person, which makes me an even worse person because I hadn't seen him in a while, but I was really focused on playing Madden and finishing the game. If they would have called after the Madden football game that I was playing, I would have been like, yeah, let's go. But I still went, but I was kind of like, it got me thinking, have you ever been invited to lunch? And if so, you didn't want to go. How did you get out of it? How would you get out of going to lunch with somebody you didn't want to go with, but you knew you were like, you didn't want to say no?
I would say, are you buying? Are you paying for my lunch? If they say no, I'm like, all right, I don't have money. I can't go. It's either you. I'm not great with. I'm glad this is a really good question, because I'm not great at coming up with lies right off the spot. And my mom calls me out on it, because She would be like, no one reads you better than your mom. You talk about being a great at reading people. No one can read their son better than their own mother. And I'm just not great with coming up with lies on the spot. So yeah, I have been invited times where people have called me and wanted to go to lunch, asked me if I wanted to go to lunch, and I've been caught up with something. But that is usually my go-to. Is if are you buying? No, well then I can't. No, I'm caught up with something anyway. But if you were paying, I would drop it all right now.
I got no money. I can't go. That's the best excuse, man. Like I'm broke. They're like, you're broke. It's just lunch. It's like $10. Everybody's got $10. Like, nope, not Marco. He is broke. No $10 for that guy. I don't mind. Like I'll go. Because there are times, most of the time, it's people that are coming through town. I haven't seen them in a while. But sometimes, like, you know, like you're at work, right? And somebody goes, hey, let's go to lunch. And you're just like, nah, I'm busy. If I go to lunch, it's going to end up being an hour and a half or an hour that I can't spare. And if I can eat at my desk, like the food I brought, or I just run out real quick and I get something to eat, and I come back and I still work and eat. It's just better. Because then people get upset. Like when somebody asks you to go to lunch, they get upset if you say no. It's almost like you can't say no if somebody says, hey, you want to go to lunch? And you're like, no. And they're like, well, you don't like me? It's like, no, I like you. I just don't want to go to lunch with you. It has nothing to do with your personality. I just don't want to go to lunch with you. And then, like you said, here's the thing, too. A friend of mine, years ago, we got into this discussion about lunch. And I think I got in a discussion with Jake LeBlanc, too, here at lunch. Maybe it wasn't him, but I think it was talking about when you ask somebody to go to lunch, like sometimes the way they say it means they're going to buy, you know, because if they say like, do you want to go to lunch? Then you can say no or yes. So if they ask you, do you want to go to lunch? Is it because they're like, hey, I'm buying? Because sometimes you don't want to ever ask when they go, hey, do you want to go to lunch? And you're like, well, wait, is that like they're buying if I go to lunch or they just want me to come along and hang out? How does that work?
What if someone said, hey, Bradley, but I know you like Red Robin, but they were like, hey, Bradley, you want to go to Red Robin? And but in this hypothetical, you don't like Red Robin. What do you say then? Do you say, I'm good? You say no still, I'm broke, or I just don't like Red Robin, I'm good, thank you.
I think you could say like, nah, I'm not really down for Red Robin. Like I'm not just not somewhere that no, I don't like it. You know, if you didn't like the place you were going, I think you could say that. Just be like, nope, I don't like that. So I don't want to go.
People have to be better at just taking, you know, hearing no. No, it's not personal or anything. Don't take it personal. It's just I'm caught up in work. I'm caught up in the Super Bowl on Madden. I just can't come right now.
This is a very important game. This is a game to get into the playoffs. I can't go. I can't disturb myself right now. Here's the thing, too. Like, when you ask, I always tell people this. When you ask a question, don't assume you're going to get the answer you want. And if you ask a question that can be answered with multiple answers, you shouldn't be surprised when you get that. Like, a lot of people, like, when you do ask someone to go to lunch, and because they're always like, oh, you go to lunch. It's eating. You're hanging out. We're talking. We're going to have a good time. They expect you, I would say, almost 99% of the time to say, yeah, I'll go to lunch with you. But when you say no, that's when they get hurt. And I'm always like, did you not, like, this mind is mine, and I can make it work on my own. And if I don't want to go to lunch with you, don't want to go to lunch with you. No, it's over. But I do like your thing. I'm going to use yours about money. Like, I'm going to be like, I'm broke. I don't have any money.
The worst thing is when there's strings attached to it. My grandpa being the best example for this, he would always ask me if I wanted to go to lunch with him. And he's like, all right, cool. I get to go to lunch with grandpa. No big deal. And then after lunch, it's like, all right, now that I fed you, do you want to come clean my pool? Come mow my lawn? We're going to go drive around and talk to clients. And it's like, all right, this what was supposed to be half hour experience has now turned into a 5-hour workday with my grandpa.
That's an old people trick. That's what that is. That's from back in the day. They bought you something. They basically get to use your services for however long they think what they spent on you is worth. That's how that works.
A two piece from Popeyes was not worth 4 hours of work, Grandpa. If you're watching or listening to this, it wasn't worth it.
Your grandpa thinks so. That's like, so now you know when you see, but you should learn what after the first time they do that, you should learn. They're like, hey, you want to go to lunch? You're like, no. What's all involved with this lunch, Grandpa? Like, let's lay it down. Come on. you're feeding me, you're using your hard-earned money, but what do you want from me? Just get to that, and I'll let you know if I want to go to lunch. I like your grandpa already.
It turns into a now we have to negotiate the lunch. Yep. No longer just a straight answer. Bradley, we love talking about family on the show. Last week, you shared the story about game nights at your household and how the board game Sorry can turn into just a whole nother thing. It turns more than just to a board game itself. It's a whole nother level of competition.
It's a whole nother level. It's very serious. Very serious.
Am I back?
Yes. Oh, I hear you. There you go. Yeah.
Perfect. So I got to ask you, this is a double question here since we both have siblings. Are you the youngest of the siblings, by the way?
No, I'm in the middle of my two sisters.
Middle of two sisters. What was probably the worst grounding that you got from your parents? And was there ever a time where your siblings may have done something, but the punishment got tied in to where either both of you got in trouble and you were just a witness at the scene, or they just had to they punished all three of you to set an example?
Well, I'll say this. My older sister did not, she didn't really recognize us. She tried to stay as far away from my younger sister and I, because my older sister, Tony, is 4 years older than me. So when she was in high school, I was in junior high. So like when I was an eighth grader, she was a sophomore. Mm-hmm. So when I was an eighth grader, she was a senior. So we really didn't interact a whole lot except at home. Like she really, my older sister during when we were all home, and she wanted nothing to do with my younger sister and I. So
it was because you guys are troublemakers.
No, it was because my younger sister and I are like a year and a half apart. Like we in school years, we were a year apart. So we had 3 years of high school together. My mom and dad weren't really grounding parents, but I do remember because I was an instigator amongst my sisters. So I was always, as my mom would say, I was always tit-tatting around with my sisters. Like we would sit in the back of the car and they would make somehow like they would call windows. And so whoever didn't get called windows first had to sit in the middle. Well, so I'm a guy. So as a kid, when I would sit down, my legs would just go out, right? Mm-hmm. And so they would end up like touching my sister's knees. Our knees would touch. And like for Tony, like she'd be like, put your knee, she'd grab my leg and she'd be like, get your knee off mine. Stop touching my leg. And so then me being how I am, I would be like, oh, that bothers her. Like, so I would just kind of like, it'd be a few minutes and then I would just slowly move my knee over. Yeah, and touch her knee, and she would hit it away. And she'd be like, I told you to stop it. And mom's like, what's going on back there? And I was like, and she's like, Bradley's bothering me. And I'm like, no, I'm not, mom. I go, she said I was touching her. I go, my leg's not touching her. She's like, it's not now, but it was. And I'm like, no, it's not. Well, then Tony, who was, four years older than me, like she would look at me and like the death in her, you know, eyes. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, okay, can't mess with her anymore. Like I pushed her to the edge. So then I do it to my younger sister. So the one time, so that was in the back seat. Like I was an instigator and it irritated my mom. And she was like, stop touching your sisters. Like just, she was, why can't you just sit still in the car? I was like, nah, that's not happening. Well, so one time it got so bad where we went to Wichita to my grandma's house. We were coming back. It's a long drive and there's five of us in the car. And I'm in the back seat with my sisters again. And we got home and my mom, she got so mad and she goes, you know what? When we get home, she goes, you're going to have a decision to make. And I was like, oh, what? She goes, you can either get a belt whipping from your dad and watch TV, or you can go to bed right when we get home. And we were going to be home at like 6 o'clock. You know, what kid wants to go to bed at 6? And I was like, you know, the way home, I'm just thinking, I'm like, oh man, it's Sunday. And I really want to watch, you know, like Wonderful World of Disney's on, and there's some shows I want to watch. And we got home to, as we're walking from, because our garage wasn't attached to our house. So as we're walking the sidewalk from the garage to the house, my mom's like, well, have you decided? And I was like, because I really didn't want to get a whipping from my dad. But I was like, yeah, I'll take the whipping. And my mom's like, she's like, you will? And I'm like, yeah, I really want to watch TV. but it was my own fault. It was my own fault for messing with my sisters in the car. And so they, you know, so I had to do it. But my mom and dad were more of that punishment than they were like grounding. I do know my younger sister got grounded once. She probably wouldn't like me to tell the story. That's a story for another time. So we'll wait on that. I don't know if my older sister ever got grounded or not, but I don't remember being grounded. I may have been, I just don't remember it. And I will say, no, that way we didn't get grounded for that either.
We just got whoopings, right? Whoopings?
Yeah, or my mom would grab my ear. And like, you know, I think that was punishment as well, too. I'd be doing something and she'd grab your ear. She also did something called milk your mouth. She would say, give me your hand. And so you would give her your hand and then she'd be like, well, what's this? And then she would take it and she would bend it like this.
Oh,
and that's would be my mom. She's like, you're going to take the trash out, right? And you're like, yeah, Jess,
you're not going to talk back, are you? No.
But what my mom didn't realize, though, was that I was going to get older and stronger. And I was going to do it to her. So there's been times before where I'll be like, and I sound mean, but like, you don't know as a kid when you're like five or, you know, and then they get your pinky and they bend it back, you know, they just keep going. That hurts. So I just grab my mom now. I grab my mom's little pinky and I wouldn't even put a whole lot of pressure on it, but I'm like, hey, I'm like, you need to behave and sit down or I'm going to ground you. And she's like, oh, stop it. But I would just be like, hey, watch it. But I mean, I don't remember. I don't really recall. And like I said, my sisters and I, we really didn't hang out a whole lot. So we were never causing trouble. But I'm sure you got in trouble with your siblings all the time.
Oh, yes. But I was hardly ever the troublemaker. The really only one time where I was grounded for what I did was when I was like, you know, fourth, fifth grade, possibly maybe like third grade. I was over at my grandparents' house. And they had loose change just scattered around the house, whether it was like in a random red Solo cup on one of their desks. You find the penny change in between the couches or their drawers. I just went around. I collected all their change. And I came up with a nice, you know, my mom, I remember her saying it was like $50 in quarters. And I had hid them behind my bed. And she had found me counting my loot that I had just collected earlier in that day. And she was like, where did you get that money? And I said, I was like, I just got it at grandma and grandpa. I was like, she's like, did you ask them before you could take that? I was like, well, no, finders keepers, losers weepers. Like, that's how it works. It was just in a couch. Like, they weren't going to use it. And so I got grounded for about a month because of that. And I remember I was watching Mr. Deeds on the couch and it was like, nope, can't watch it. You're grounded. And I had to give the money back to my grandpa. And he even told her, he had told her, just let him have it. Like, I'm like, it's just quarters. Like, it's just coins. Let him have it. It's just like, you know, grandpa, it's like $50, nothing for my grandson, but she was not going to have, that was probably the worst thing I did as a kid that got me grounded. But there was plenty of time where, same thing with you and your younger sister, me and my second oldest brother, I'm the youngest of three boys. We're about a year and a half apart or 2 years apart, excuse me. But we shared a room together up until he left for college. And so whenever the Xbox got taken away because of him, I had to suffer because of it. But there was a time when we were kids, this guy decides to prank call 911 and tell them that our house was on fire. Please hurry. You know, I'm probably like 5, 6 years old. He's older than me, 8 years old. And I'm just standing there watching him prank call 911. I did not pick up the phone or anything. It was all him. So, you know, they didn't send a fire truck over because they knew, okay, this has to be like this. They knew it was a fake call. They got this little kid calling them. And so they sent the sheriff over and my mom told my dad, and she tells me this is when we were older, that they had schemed up a plan. And so my dad pushed us outside and he said, they're right here, officer. And the officer put us in the back of the cop car, handcuffed us and put us in the back of the cop car and drove us around the block and gave us a lecture and then dropped us back off at home. And then our parents made us go up to our room and clean it. And it was probably like a Saturday or Sunday, one weekend day. So just a day. And I was just caught up in it. I had nothing to do with it. I fought my case. I pleaded my case, but nope. I still had to go clean my room with my brother. It was not happening. No excuses. I was there. I was a witness. And I got pulled into it. It's a fun story that we laugh about now, because why would you call 911?
Here's a crazy story. Talking about calling things, we were at a party, and a friend of mine called the Kennedy. Who was it? What was the Kennedy out at the? What's it? I can't even think of it. The Kennedy where the girl drowned. This might be.
It begins with a P, right? It's like
Out in there. But anyway, he called
the Northeast.
Yeah, he called that Kennedy office because he was he's a representative or whatever. He's in government. Mm-hmm. So he called the office and then made this prank phone call talking about he had information or he knew or something like that, about killing her and stuff like that. And I was at the party and I was just like, you did not just do that. And he's like, yeah, I did. And I was like, I'm going home. Because I figured like the FBI would roll up. Yeah, in our small town. It was like, what? It was crazy.
Was it Gideon Kennedy maybe?
No, yeah. It wasn't John F. Kennedy. It wasn't Bobby Kennedy.
Edward Kennedy. Ted Kennedy.
Ted Kennedy. Yeah, that's what
up
it was.
In Chappaquiddick.
There you go.
I just did a quick Google search.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, that's what it was. And so, it was crazy. And he's like, it'll be fine. I was like, whoa. Talking about your brothers and sisters and my sisters. Or you don't have sisters. Talking about my
sister. I have a younger sister. She's younger than me though. She got into her own kinds of trouble as a kid.
She sounds like a troublemaker. Now I've never heard you talk about her, but she just sounds like a troublemaker. I'm just kidding. I love your sister. I've never met her. Talking about siblings, and I don't know, someday you might get married, have kids. Maybe no, it's not happening for me. But I ran across this. And since I'm a big movie buff, and I love Entertainment Weekly, the magazine. Have you you know that magazine?
I do know that magazine. Yes, I can't say I'm not a subscriber though.
I used to be. I used to actually keep all of my magazines, and I had a big old like pile of them. But then I got rid of them when I moved because I realized moving with all that is not fun. They put out a list of movies kids must see before they grow up. I'll tell you this: growing up as a kid, I kind of wish I never saw this movie when I was a kid. Scared me. Didn't enjoy watching it, but people made me watch it. Namely, my parents and siblings, because they had it on the TV. It's The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yes.
Wasn't a big fan when I was younger. As a young adult, wasn't a big fan. I get the significance of the movie. I see why people love the movie. It wouldn't be my go-to movie to show a kid. I just don't think so. I was scared of the flying monkeys, and I wasn't really fond of the Wicked Witch of the West. She looked scary, and I just didn't like that movie. But I got to thinking, like, movies that you would show kids that they need to see. And I would think, like, one of the movies would be Toy Story.
100%. Yes.
That you would have to show them. A movie that I did enjoy watching as a kid, E.T.
That's a good one. Yes, E.T.
Yeah. Another movie I enjoyed watching, and I'm thinking, like, there are movies I think, Charlotte's Web. I actually liked that movie as a kid. Another movie I think that people, I like Disney movies growing up. That 6 o'clock, I said this earlier on this show, 6 o'clock on Sunday, The Wonderful World of Disney came on, and they always had a movie at 6 o'clock when I was growing up. So I watched all of the Disney movies. One movie I probably wouldn't recommend for a kid is Old Yeller. Have you seen that movie?
No, but we did have to read the book, yes.
It's very sad.
Yes, very sad.
That's a movie that makes me cry every time I watch it, and I haven't watched it for a while. But what are some, I'm going to ask you, and what are some movies you think, personally, children should watch before they grow up?
Star Wars. 100%. Watch the Star Wars movies for the imagination part of it and the fantasy concept of it. But of course, just the characters. Because when you had asked that question, that's the first movie that came to my head, because it was probably one of the first movies that I can remember watching as a child, thanks to my dad. That and The Matrix, for some reason, that was quite the duo they chose. Don't show your kid The Matrix. Do not be like me and have your first rated R movie shown to you at 7 years old.
Can I say this? The yes. first rated R movie I ever saw, Jaws, in a theater.
And at that, like back then, was it a PG movie? Or no, it was rated R movie, but
rated R.
You just had to have a parent. Did you still have to have a parent with you to go see it?
Small town movie theater, man.
Small town.
That's all I need to say about that.
So Star Wars, definitely. I know if I do have kids, I'll be something I show them first. Like you said, you mentioned Toy Story. Pixar movies, I think, fits into its own category with that. And I had one at the top of my head, but now I lost it as I was talking about Star Wars, because now I can only think about is Star Wars. My mom.
Go ahead. Let me run this down. Just this way, spark your memory. Entertainment Weekly listed these movies: Toy Story 2, they said, E.T., The Wizard of Oz, Moana.
Oh, Moana.
Moana, that's how you say it. I knew I wasn't saying it right. That one, The Goonies, Babe, The Sound of Music, and The Princess Bride.
So The Goonies helped my memory come back. Karate Kid. That's an awesome movie. Karate Kid. Teaching those kids, you know, when life knocks you down, go find yourself a mentor and build up your strength and confidence and go set wash on and wash off.
Yeah, wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off. Yeah, those are great, man. Those are great. Like, because I always think now, here's a funny thing talking about movies. My sister, when her kids were children, she would take them to scary movies. She would take them to R-rated movies, too. And I'm like, because I talked about that on a radio show before. I was like, yeah, my younger sister, she goes and watches a movie and she takes her kids with it. And they're like, she lets them watch them. I'm like, yeah. And Teresa's like, they're my kids.
What you gonna do?
Yes, they're my kids. They're going to the movies with me. What do you want me to leave them at home, fend for themselves? No, I'm taking them to the movies, and that's what she would do.
That is some old school parenting right there. That is the old school parenting technique. I love that.
I was gonna say, anybody have any movies? If you're watching this far into the show, if you have any movies that you would let or you think kids should watch, email me BradleyJ@94country.com.
Bradley, I got a random question for you, since we're talking with Easter coming up, and we talk about our family a lot. Any Easter traditions that you had as a kid, maybe young adult, growing up? We talked about holidays in our last show, but Easter coming up this Sunday. Do you have any fun stories from that holiday of your childhood?
My small town of Lucas, Kansas.
Shout out, Lucas.
Lucas, Kansas, home of the Garden of Eden. If you haven't seen it, check it out when you stop by. Back in my hometown, businesses would get together, and I think the businesses had eggs, or somebody boiled eggs, and they would write the name of the business on it. Okay, and then up at the football field, we would hide the eggs, and they would mark off different areas of the football field for different age groups. And so what you would do is you would go up there, there'd be a line. They would say, okay, you have to stay in this area, find as many eggs as you can in this amount of time. And when you find an egg with a business on it, you could take that egg and take it down to the business. And we're like, oh, okay. So you ran out there, you know, no pushing, no shoving. I was a small kid, so I did no pushing and shoving. I got pushed and shoved a little bit.
Aww.
But you would find eggs, and you'd find a business, and you're like, oh, okay. You put it in the basket, and you'd run around, you'd get it. And then you would take it down to the business. You would show them, hey, here's the egg. This is your business name on it. And they would give you a quarter. So you made money by going and hunting for eggs. And I thought, I got like, you know, as a kid, I was buying baseball cards at the time. Yeah. And so if you found like $2, that was two or three baseball packs. So it was just like, yeah, you know, go down there and do it. So it's pretty cool. And as I've gotten older, the cool thing is my nieces and nephews have children. And on Saturday, I'm going back to my mom's. And she wants to have like a little Easter egg hunt for her grandchildren. And so we're going to do that. And that's kind of cool as a tradition. We used to get together until COVID hit. On a Saturday, we would, one of our family members, one of my aunts, it could be my mom or her sisters or brothers, they would have Easter at their place. So my whole family, first cousins, aunts and uncles, would get together on a Saturday before Easter, because on Easter, people had church and everything, you know, go celebrate Easter the traditional way, I guess. But we would all get together on Saturday and eat and talk and get together that way. And that's been a tradition that's for quite a few years now, where we would travel and get to go do that. But the last 2 years, this year and now, last year and now this year, with COVID and quarantining and everything, we've decided to cancel it. And so my mom, she's like, yeah, it's going to be canceled this year. She goes, since you guys were actually going to be traveling anyway, you and your sisters can come back home. And I was like, yeah, we can. That's a good idea, Mom.
Is there a dish that you're going to be looking forward to, or that she'll cook up for you guys?
Whatever. She actually, it's funny because my mom doesn't really cook a whole lot anymore, because she's, since my dad passed away, she didn't cook like big meals or anything. But she said she would this time. And I was like, oh, okay, that's good. And of course, she always tells me, she's like, you know, you could make something and bring it back. I go, yeah, you're right, I could, but I probably won't. My sisters, and people, like, I know that people are like, oh, yeah, that's so mean of you. Like, why wouldn't you just go, you know, make something easy? And I'm like, because my sisters do it, and they're way better cooks than I am. Like, the stuff that I cook is like, the stuff I eat at home, like, what do they want? Brown rice? I'll bring brown rice. Like,
they want popcorn? Wants. I got popcorn.
Yeah. I'm like, I've tried to bring wine home, but nobody wants to drink my wine. I'm always like, well, I guess it's more for me then. So, but those are our traditions. What do you guys do?
When we were kids, we would go to one of our good family friends' houses, and they would put on they had a really big backyard. I mean, this is the family where we would go to. They had the neighborhood swimming pool. We would play backyard baseball in their backyard. And so every Easter, they would put on a big Easter egg hunt for their family, our family, the neighbors, and some of our family friends. And so each year we would go to service, and then we would come down the street in our nice clothes, and we would be all ready for the Easter egg hunt. And we would take a group photo in front of the house. And so that's something that, parents love photos, and they always tell you, you're going to look back on these. And so that's something I always enjoy looking at, because each year, you know, there's a different photo from each year. And so you get to see how much we've grown. And so Easter egg hunts in the backyard, there would be the cliche joke, don't pick up the brown eggs, because that was from the dogs. That was from the dogs, not from the parents. And so that was our childhood tradition. And now we do an Easter egg hunt for my nieces and nephews in our front yard, backyard at our house. So Easter egg hunt is a big thing for it. My mom and dad cook ham. My mom makes her banana pudding that we all love. And so it's just, you know, it's a very simple holiday, very nice holiday, a fun holiday. And we're big on just keeping traditions from the past. And so, you know, we keep it family oriented now, and with my brother's kids. And so it's just a good time. We have a lot of fun with it. Like I said, a small Easter egg hunt for them, for the kids to enjoy. But like you said, it's just another one of those holidays where we all get to be in the same house for just a day.
Yeah, that's very important, man. All right, it's time to wrap this show up. But before we go, I have some random questions for Marco that you get a 10-second answer.
Okay.
All right. So here we go. You know, we love movies. I'm a music lover. I think you like music. And when you combine both of them together, movie and music, you get some music moments. So I want to know, Marco, out of all of the movies that you've seen, I like how the question is longer than your answer is going to be, by the way. What's the best music moment from a movie?
Shrek 2, Living La Vida Loca. At the end of Shrek 2, they do a big performance. And that kind of ties into the question earlier about what movies would you show your kid? And Shrek 2 is on that list as well.
I'll tell you this. My answer to that question, pitch perfect. They have some great moments in that movie. And I'm a huge Anna Kendrick fan, so she's right here in my heart. She's wicked funny. I love her. Next question and final one for you, Marco. Have you ever regretted getting a pet?
Yes, because when they die, you miss them so much. I regret it each time because you know how much you're going to grow attached to them. No, honestly, no, but in that way, yes.
Aww, that's a sweet, sweet answer from a sweet, sweet man.
Shout out to my Kermit Alex that lived 2 days that I got at the mall.
You had a pet that only lived 2 days?
Yeah, Kermit was a Kermit frog or the crabs that live in the shells that you get from the local mall. They only last for like 2 to 3 days. It was sad. I was my first pet funeral that I had put on in our front yard.
Aw, that is sad. I'm sorry to hear that. Sorry to hear about Kermit, man.
That's all right. Sad. That was like I was 5 years old.
Don't buy those again. That's tough, man. That's tough.
How about you?
I have never had a pet since I've moved out of my mom and dad's house. People ask me, like, you need a pet. I'm like, okay, so that would cost me more money to be in my apartment, and also I got to look after it. And they're like, you need a dog. And I'm like, dogs need a lot of attention, so no. I love animals, though. Growing up, I loved animals. I wanted to be like Merlin Perkins on Mutual of Omaha, Wild Kingdom. I was like, I love it. And then I found out how hard it is to be a veterinarian, and just animals are just, you know, they're amazing. I love going to the zoo. I love animals. But if I was going to get one, I'd get a Siamese cat because they like to be left alone. Oh. And I'd get a cat because cats, like, you don't need to walk them. You don't take them outside. I would rather have something that's not a lot of work. One time I was like, I really want a large aquarium, and my uncle has one, and he's like, it's a lot of work. And I'm like, yeah, okay, scratch that.
Right.
I don't want that. But I would, if I was going to get an animal, I'd get a cat. I'm a cat. I love dogs, but because you always hear people telling them, like, before I go to bed, I got to get up and I got to let the dog outside. My sister has like, they have a lot, but they have like 3 or 4 cats, and they have like 3 or 4 dogs. Oh, and I love going to her house because I get to hang out with them, but then I get to leave as well. But I love animals, but just, I understand when it comes to an animal, they're a lot of work. Yes. And I do not have the time, and I don't want to put the effort into it. So I think, like, I don't think I'm a bad person. Like, people are like, oh my God, that's just horrible. You need a pet. And I'm like, no, because I know what goes into it. Like, that's just what I'm saying. I'm like, I don't want to. I love them. If I had the time, and if I had kids that I could tell, that's your pet. Clean up after it. But Dad, you've had it for so long. No, I haven't. That's yours. Do it. Take it care of it. We'll get rid of it. I don't need it. That's what I would say to him. I don't need it. You do. Do you love that dog and cat? Yeah. Then clean up after it and feed it, or it'll die, and then you'll have to bury it.
In your front yard.
Yeah, in the front yard. You have to, and we'll put up a tombstone, so you have to walk by it every day going to school. So there. No, I'm kidding. I love animals. I love animals, man. I love them. But if I did have a pet, though, and that happened, I would do exactly that. My wife may not love me anymore, but, that, you know, it is what it is.
That's why you got the recliner. You got Jessica Alba. Right. You're good.
My wife will be like, you're not sleeping in bed tonight. I'll be like, that's okay. Jessica Alba's waiting for me out in the living room. Boom. Take that. So there you go. Nope. I haven't regret, but maybe someday I'll get a pet. We'll see. We'll see. All right, Marco. We got episode 2 of the Bradley J. and Marco Show in the books, man. Thanks for taking time out of your day to hang out with me. I always enjoy talking to you, man. You never know where our conversations are going to go, talking about life and different subjects. So we got a whole week to live life and then come back and do this again. Now, I do want to tell you, I'm going to ask you, Marco, if you want to do this. I know you watched the DC Snyder Cut of the Justice League. So I'd like to do, and I know not everybody wants to watch that or hear about that. So I would like to do a special episode of the show where we just talk about DC and the Snyder Cut of the Justice League. Are you down?
Oh, yeah, of course.
All right, there you go. I am Bradley J. He is Marco. Until next Tuesday, have a great week.